Thank you for joining us here at Christ Fellowship for our online message podcast.
Is anybody ready for Thanksgiving? You're like, yeah, yeah. Anybody ask your mom if how to microwave a turkey? Anybody seen that going around? hey, I hope you're ready for Thanksgiving, or you're going to be ready for Thanksgiving. But here is what I know about Thanksgiving, is that it is not always a fun time for all of us. And let me ask you this question. And once again, we're trying to be honest. We're in church, and kind of goes together. And so, how many of you have some difficult relationships in your life? Just raise your hand up. Just everybody, just look around the room. Man, I hope. I mean, if you don't have a difficult relationship, you're probably the one that's got a difficulty in somebody else's life, right? And here's what I know is that heading into a meal, a gathering, there are going to be some tense moments around a table. Some of you are dreading it, I know, right? And so today I want to challenge you and encourage you to take a risk. Now this risk that I'm going to put before you, it has the potential to make every relationship in your life better. Those good relationships you have, it could take them to the next level. The risk that I'm going to put before you also has the potential to transform the relationships in your life, the circumstances in your life, the challenges in your life. It can actually transform them into something that you actually think is good. Anybody, does that sound good to anybody else? It sounds like good news. It sounds like good news to me. So here's what I want to talk about. One word, this is the risk I want to challenge you, is this word bless. Bless. But how could this word bring transformation to your good relationships, but also how could that word transform your tough relationships or that tough circumstance that you're getting ready to head into for Thanksgiving? I think we're going to see that today, and that it's going to take us to step out of the boat, like we said last week, and to take a risk in the unknown and to lead with blessing. Now, what I want to tell you is that at the very beginning of creation, God created the heavens and the earth, everything. And then on the sixth day, he created mankind. And one of the first things he does, he makes us in his image, both male and female, made in the image of God. And the first thing that he does is he blesses humanity. Isn't that interesting? He blesses humanity. And then what's he do? He sends them out to have dominion or to rule. And so to cultivate and to create, that was what was given to Adam and Eve to do, to actually go and be just like God. As he's a creative God, we're called to create, to cultivate, to actually subdue the earth and the systems of this world. This is what we're called to do. And I'm going to put before you today, that calling on Adam and Eve did not stop at Adam and Eve. That calling on Adam and Eve to actually go out and to create, to change things, to influence, that is the calling of every person that walks that's made in the image of God, which is everyone, by the way. This is the ability and the potential of every life that's seated in this room, that you can actually change things, that you can actually cultivate relationships, cultivate culture, to change the trajectory of your life, but also the lives of others. This is the potential in this room. Is anybody else gonna say amen to that? Do we believe that, right? This is the calling of our life. And I'm going to tell you, the way that we do that, I think, when I look at the scriptures, is by leading with blessing. Leading with blessing. And I say that because in Genesis chapter 12, we find a pivotal passage where God is laying out this trajectory, this arc that he's putting together, where we got the garden and then we have Jesus coming in the future, and then he came and then we've got his return, and he's gonna restore the earth and the heavens, and it's gonna be exactly how he intended it from the beginning. That arc, there's a really important part that we see in that line, and it's in Genesis chapter 12, because in Genesis chapter 12, God gives a calling to a man named Abram, who later became Abraham. And the calling was, if you remember, hey, Abraham, I want you to leave everything you know, and I want you to go to a place that I will tell you. Now, in chapter 12 of Genesis, we see this. Verse 2, he says, God says, I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you. There's the first word. Not, I didn't sneeze, by the way. But I will bless you and make your name great so that you will be a what? Blessing. I will bless, once again, those who bless you, and in him who dishonors you, I will curse. And in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Blessed. This is the calling on your life and my life, to live a life where we receive the blessings from God and that we don't just hold them for ourselves, but we actually allow those blessings to flow and to transform not only our lives, but the lives and the community around us. This is the potential of your life. This is the calling that God has on every one of our lives to actually make a difference, to bring transformation to a world who is looking for something that's real, something that's honest, something that is right. So we see this, but to answer this question, we gotta say, what is blessed? What does that mean? Because here in the South, like we know, like bless your heart. Man, that is a Southern way of saying you are a stinking idiot, right? Like a little sweet tea sprinkled on top, like you are a stinking idiot, like bless your heart, like we know that. Or we say, man, I'm too blessed to stress. Oh, yes, look at me, Facebook, oh. What are we usually saying? We're saying usually, man, I got so many good things happening in my life, man, I can't even stress, man, it's so good. Usually monetary things is what we're talking about. I got a pay raise, too blessed to stress. But what does that mean? Like we throw that word around, God bless you. What does that mean? What in the world does that mean? We need to know that. If this is the calling on those that follow Jesus, if our calling is to receive his blessing and extend, we better know what that means. And what Webster tells us, because you all should go to Webster, you know, Bible and Webster, they get like right there. And that was a joke, by the way. We don't put Webster in Bible. Just don't, that's not heresy. I was just joking. But this is what Webster says. He says, a blessing is a thing conducive to happiness or welfare. A thing conducive to happiness or welfare. It's where we use our words or our actions to benefit and honor somebody else. So you could say that the Lord gave honor and gave favor to Abram, and his job was to actually be a benefit to the world. And who? All the people, all the world, all the nations, to be a benefit, to bless us. So how in the world do we do that? Here's three things that I'd love for you to write down. How do we go about living a life where we bless somebody else? The first thing is we've got to see in order to bless. Like, I can't bless something that I cannot see or I don't see. Now, here's the posture of most in our culture. We are so infatuated with myself and what's good for me. And so I'm just staring at my navel all the time. Like, what is gonna be good for Derek? Sometimes I got a phone in my hand and doing my thing, but it's all about me. And what we fail to do is we don't see the people that are around us. Like, we don't see the person at work who's really struggling. We don't see the kid at the grocery store who just looks like he's a walking zombie. We don't see these things because we're just looking at ourselves. And I'm gonna tell you, if we wanna live out this calling to cultivate, to create, to bless others, it's gonna require us to get our eyes up and to begin to look around, to begin to notice. Because when I look at Jesus, man, he was a stickler for the details. He noticed things that nobody else noticed. He saw people, he looked people in the eyes, and it changed everything. If we want to be a people that bless others, it begins with seeing. I've got to see him. And it's not just in the physical realm, although that's really important. We also have to see them as God sees them. Because here's what I know. If I look at somebody who's causing some issues in my life and I see them as a problem, I see them as just a waste, guess what? There's no chance of me blessing that person, no chance. But if, by the power of God in me, transforming my mind to the mind of Christ and begin asking God, will you show me what you see in that person? When we begin to see the imprint of God on another person, when we begin to see the image of God, even on that person at the office that nobody ever wants to get caught at the lunchroom with, if we would begin to see that person as God made them, it would get us to a position where then we could choose to bless them, right? Now listen, this is not natural. My goodness, it's not natural. It's so easy just to chalk somebody else up to a waste of time, a failure, I don't wanna deal with them. But if we wanna bless, we've gotta see. And I think that we've gotta ask God, God, will you give me eyes to see? One pastor put it this way, our job as followers of Jesus is to see the gold in every person that we meet. Man, what if that's how we operate? Like our first thought is, man, they are super annoying. What if we actually looked for, man, God, where are you in that person? Where are you? So it begins with actually seeing people and then it moves into speaking. How are we gonna bless? We gotta see them, but then we actually gotta speak over them. And we know the power of words. The scriptures tell us that in the power of the tongue or in the power of words is life and death. That is really, really powerful. You can either build somebody up or you can tear them down with your words. And here's what I recognize in society is that we are really slow to tell somebody good things. And I don't know why that is. I don't know if we're scared to tell them. I don't know if that we have this scarcity mentality, like if I tell them they've got good things or doing something good that I won't receive mine. I don't know what it is, but what I recognize is that we are not quick to encourage other people with our words. But what if you actually led with a blessing, that you would speak a way that would benefit somebody else? What could transform in your life? This last week, my wife was at school. She's a part-time helper that helps with phonics in a first grade classroom. And they're teaching what adjectives are. And if you don't know what an adjective, that's all right. It's no shame on theirs. But they're teaching adjectives. And they had this thing. They gave the kids a post-it note, right? A post-it note. And they said, hey, this is what we want you to do, kids. We want you to write down an adjective about one of your teachers, which is a scary thing to do for first graders. Probably wasn't the teacher that put that curriculum together. But anyhow, put that together, write down an adjective, and then I want you to take that and I want you to actually stick it on your teacher, all right? So the kids are thinking adjective, describing a noun. See, I knew that, right? And so they're writing, and then they began to get up and write, put these notes on the teacher. And my wife was there, and they began putting notes on my wife and says things like, you're so nice, and you're loving, you're great, you're good. And then one little boy came up to her, and he comes from a pretty tough home life, not really nurtured a lot, and came in not really reading well, and now is actually reading above most of the other kids because he's been in a situation where he's been nurtured and spoken identity over him. And he comes up to my wife and puts a note on her, and that note said, brave. Wow. First grader? Yeah. And my wife took that note and said, man, that's... thank you so much. I don't feel brave a lot of the time, so thank you for that. And he said, no, you're brave. Brave. Listen, if a first grader can do that, Lord help us adults. He saw something in my wife, and he wasn't afraid to speak it out. You know what that did to my wife? It built her up and gave her courage and said, you know what? I am brave. I believe that, right? What is the potential of your words? How are you using them? What are you doing with the words? You can use your words to bless, to engage, to encourage, to lift up, to build up, and to benefit those in your life. One of the things I do with young, soon-to-be married people when I sit down and do some coaching with them is I have them sit down in chairs, and of course chairs, I don't know why I had to give you that detail, but I Indian style on the floor. I don't know what I did. But anyhow, I have them sit down on chairs that have four legs, and I crack myself up, so I don't know what I'm doing. Y'all come to this church, so it's all right. So I have them sit down, and I say, this is what I want you to do. I want you to ask God what he thinks about your spouse. And whatever you see, whatever you hear, whatever comes to mind, I just want you to write that down. Now, usually the woman is over there writing. The guy's like, what do I do? I'm like, no, listen, just the first thing that comes to mind, just write it down, bro. Like, it's not rocket science. Just think of your future spouse and write it down. Okay, I got that. And then you start seeing him writing, okay? And what they're doing is they're just asking the Lord, what do you say about my future spouse? What do you say? And then they're done. And then I say, okay, now I want you to share with one another. And I'm going to tell you, the most powerful thing happens when they hear their future spouse bless them with what they feel like the Father is saying about that person. And I do that because I want that to set the tone of this is what a healthy marriage looks like. Using your words to build up one another, to encourage one another, to speak things out that maybe that person doesn't see, we are called to that. And I'm gonna tell you, that's free marriage advice for all y'all. If y'all would do that today, husbands, you lead out, get a pencil, get ready, just sit down and say, God, what do you have to say about my wife? Just write ever what comes to mind and then share that. You know what your wife would do? She would come alive. And I'm going to tell you, I haven't always been really good at that. I'm going to tell you, too often I put my foot in my mouth or I reserve and I don't say anything. But I'm going to tell you, when I speak life over Kate, when I tell her what I feel like God is saying over her, what I'm seeing in her, she comes alive. That is the potential of a blessing. Now, the third thing, we're going to move quickly here. The third way that we bless, extend a blessing, is through service. Now, Jesus did all three of these really well. He saw people. Nobody else would see him, but he would see him, and then he would speak identity. He would speak truth over them, but then he also served them in incredible ways. He would heal the sick, cast out demons, raise people from the dead, all these incredible things. But one of the most profound things Jesus ever did was he got down on his knees and he washed his disciples' feet. He blessed them through serving them. He humbled himself and actually served the people that he knew would later desert him. This is what Jesus did. He led with blessing. What would it look like for us to do that? Now, I was in the grocery store on my day off last Friday. I think it was last Friday. My bride had given me a grocery list. And so I'm in there on a Friday midday and I'm going around the grocery store. And I don't know if you've ever been in a grocery store midday on a Friday. It's really slow. And the people that are in there are really slow. So I'm walking around produce aisle. Yeah, I'm getting my things. Feeling good about myself. I'm helping my wife. And then I start going down the aisles and I start getting around people that they're just reading every label on the back. And then they're just moseying. And I find myself inside just getting torn up. I'm just like, I'm cursing these people in my soul. And I'm like, what is going on? I find a grip on my handlebars. I don't know handlebars. My knuckles are turning white. And I'm just fuming inside. Like, I am furious. And I'm like, and I'm trying to like in and out of traffic. I'm like, just move. And then I get to the beer and water aisle. Don't judge me. And you don't know what I bought. And and this moment hit me. Derek, what are you doing? What do you mean? I'm just at the store. I know I'm kind of ticked off. And Derek, do you believe that the Spirit lives in you? Do you believe that the kingdom of God is here in your midst? Do you believe that, Derek? Well, yeah. Then what are you doing? In the middle of the beer and water aisle, I recognized that God had called me to be somebody who actually cultivates culture and atmosphere. See, I had just checked down to what everybody else was doing in that store, and I failed to recognize the opportunity that I was there to actually bring the kingdom of God there. And so this is what I did. I'm walking and I had this epiphany. My head came up. I began to see people. I saw a lady. I said, howdy, ma'am, because that's what you do in Tennessee. And I said, howdy, ma'am. And then I just began to look people in the eye. Listen, most people don't look you in the eye. We don't see people. We're just God. But I began to look people in the eye. I began to encourage people. I began to speak into people. Hey, can I help you with that? And I began to recognize my potential there to bring a blessing and to change the culture. This is what we have everywhere we go. To bring a blessing. Now you say, Derek, that's fine and good, but what about those relationships that are tenuous? Do we need to lead with blessing there? And I would say, listen to the words of Jesus. Jesus said this. He says, I say to you, love your enemy. Bless, there's that word, bless the one who curses you. Do something wonderful for the one who hates you and responds to the very one who persecutes you by praying for them. Say, what? It's so much easier just to return like for like, right? To get in this cycle. If somebody uses me, I'm gonna use them. Somebody gossips about me, I'm gonna gossip about them. Somebody tears me down with their words, I'm gonna respond by tearing them down. That is the culture. That is the ways of the world. I'm gonna tell you, it's not the way to follow Jesus. To change a pattern means you have to introduce a disruptive force to change things. And this is why I love Martin Luther King Jr. He said this profoundly. He said this. He says, returning violence for violence multiplies violence. That'll preach all day long. Returning violence for violence multiplies violence, adding deeper darkness to a night already devoid of stars. Wow. Man, that's what we do all the time. Return evil for evil, hatred for hatred. And then he goes on and says, darkness cannot drive out darkness. Only light can do that. Hate cannot drive out hate. Only love can do that. Listen, I'm gonna tell you, if you want your life to be different, if you want your work to be different, if you want this Thanksgiving family dinner to be different, I'm gonna tell you, you gotta take a risk and change what you've done. Lead with blessing. Change the patterns of this world. Disrupt them. Disrupt them. And what God would say is, this is how you do it. You lead with blessing. Paul continues on in Romans chapter 12, verse 14 through 21. And he says this, bless those who persecute you. Man, it sounds like Jesus. Oh. Bless and do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Man, could we hear that today? Do not be haughty. Oh, Lord, help us. But associate with the lowly. Never be wise in your own eyes. Repay no one evil for evil, but give thought to do what is honorable in the sight of all. If possible, so far as it depends upon you, live peaceably with all. All, Jesus, you know that? All. Beloved, never avenge yourself, but leave it to the wrath of God. For it is written, vengeance is mine, says the Lord. I will repay. To the contrary, to the opposite. If your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. For by doing so, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not overcome evil, but overcome evil with good. Man, I feel like I could just step down and say, man, that preaches itself. But I do want to unpack this last part of this passage. Because we hear these two things. It says, feed the one who is hungry. Give water to the one that's thirsty. And then the last verse says, do not overcome evil by evil. But in the middle of that, it says that by kindness, being kind, you're actually heaping burning coals on their head. Does that sound really good to heap burning coals on your enemy? Like, let them feel the hell of fire's hell. Like, does anybody else like feel that in you? Like, nobody else. Am I the only heathen here? Like, you know that sounds good, right? Like, let that person feel the fire of God on their head. Like, this is how we think, but we would miss out the cultural relevancy because right before that verse, it says to bless. Don't respond evil with evil. And then right after it says respond with kindness. And so I'm gonna tell you that verse may not be how you've read it in the past. Because culturally what would happen is people, they were dependent upon fire, upon coals, hot coals, to live and to have their dinners and have heat. And so what would happen is though, if you weren't on top of things, your fire, your coal would actually go out. And when that happens, you would be put in a position where you would actually have to go to your neighbor to ask them to give you some of their hot coals. And to do that, then you would take a kind of an earthen vessel or ceramic and you would carry it over to your neighbor and they would put, if they were kind, they would put a hot coal in there. But they realized for you to get back home and that coal not to run out, they would have to heap hot coals on top of one another so that hot coal would stay hot when it got home. And so you would actually heap it on top of their head and they would carry it back to their home and they would have a fire. And so what Paul is actually saying is, listen, be kind and actually express the love of God in a way that somebody will recognize it and they'll be appreciative. See, that verse totally sounds different when we read it in that light. Don't respond evil for evil, because here's the problem, or here's the possibility, that your blessing can disrupt the patterns of this world. That your blessing, your leading out with blessing, can disrupt the patterns of your family, the patterns of your workplace, if you would step out and lead and change the rhythm, change the pattern. It requires us to do something different though, to lead with blessing. So here's what I want to do before we're going to sing one last song. I want us to just follow the words of Jesus here. Jesus says to not curse the one, but to actually bless him. And then he said to pray for those that are against you. And so here in this moment here, I just want us to just close our eyes here just for a moment. I want you to picture a person in your life that causes you some frustration. A person maybe you're gonna see over Thanksgiving that you are not looking forward to it, or maybe a Monday when you go to work, somebody who is just really, really just drives you crazy. I want you to picture that person. And then I wanna ask you to just even ask the Lord, God, will you help me to see that person like you see them? Man, that's a crazy prayer to pray when you're talking about somebody who's hurt you, somebody's come against you, but it's the way of Jesus. And if you're picturing that person in your mind, that person that's causing frustration, caused pain in your life, I want you to just pray a blessing over that person, as hard as that is. Sometimes we do it through gritted teeth. I've been there, done it. I'm doing it actually right now. I'm picturing a person right now that's caused some pain in my life, some frustration. God, will you bless that person? Pour out your favor. Let them know how much you love them. Help me to lead with kindness, to lead with a blessing, to benefit them in such a way that they would recognize your love. Lord, thank you for making us influencers, for making us cultivators and creators. Lord, I pray right now that you would fill us with your spirit so we wouldn't just follow the pattern of this world, but we would actually disrupt them with kindness, with love, with mercy, with grace. Even this Thanksgiving season, Lord, we would see transformation in our homes, in our communities. Lord, thank you for showing us the way. Thank you for loving us and extending mercy when we did not deserve it, when we were at our worst. We love you, Jesus. Amen. Let's stand and sing this last song together.